This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 441 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and that there on the other end of Skype from Melbourne, Victoria, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au is Mr. Glyn Lavender. And I thought that this week, for something completely different, we're going to turn the podcast upside down. I'm going to shut up, and Glyn's going to talk nonstop for 40 minutes. Or not. Okay.
I'm not talking to you.
Fair enough.
Not a good week to swap the episodes around, to swap it upside down.
Why is that?
I don't talk to cheaters.
Cheaters?
You cheated on me.
Well, you didn't show up for the date, so...
And you know what's worse? When you cheat, what's... you didn't even ask if it was okay. If you'd asked, I said, yeah, you got 1 year later to them. It's different. But when you find out a different, some other way, usually through social media as was the case.
Yep.
You know? Now I'm having a lovely Sunday morning and then cheater comes up on Facebook. Oh, I've never felt so betrayed.
And then you get betrayed by the listeners who go, that was a pleasant surprise. I'm not going to name any names, Susan.
I know Susan said that, yes. You didn't notice that either. You know how quickly they forget to like and say, Bruce.
That's right. How's your fortnight been? How's your fortnight?
We talked to Joe last week.
We did.
My mate from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Bit of a moron, isn't he?
He's great value.
I didn't listen because you know, I don't want to break my record of ever listening to one of our episodes. But what did you talk about?
We talked about the studio shoot that I'd done the previous weekend.
I haven't seen that.
Well, you'll have to go and look at the show notes from last week. we talked about.
Okay, let's go. But before we dissect last week's episode any further, you talked about the studio shoot.
Yeah,
and he's a pretty good studio shooter. So his thoughts were stick to audio recording.
Yeah, he liked what I'd done, but he offered some things that he thought could have made things better.
So that begs the question then: how was his form of critique versus mine?
His was not as
acerbic,
jagged edged as yours.
He tried to soften the blows somewhat.
Yeah.
Did he try and say some positive things?
He did.
And then say the bad stuff?
Yeah. So it was good. It was good.
So, did you learn anything?
Well, I won't know that until I try it again.
What did he say you should improve?
We talked about angles of lights and distance of lights. You know, I was talking about the fact that I'd used my rarely used but awesome purchase from 4 years ago of a couple of studio lights.
Yeah.
And I'd set them up with a couple of sticks of wood along the top of them and then hung black vinyl car blankets off the piece of wood to act as flags when I was shooting on the black backdrop, because I had the two studio lights sort of out at 80 degrees to the subject from both sides, one at an eighth power, one at 16th power.
And 80 degrees?
As in, if they were right at the sides, you'd call that 90 degrees. Sort of imagine that they were 10 degrees forward of the subject.
So you're looking for flat light, were you?
Well, no. That's why I have one at an eighth and one at a 16th.
At 80 degrees?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay, so instead of being directly from the side shooting at their ears.
Let's not talk this metric system of degrees. Let's talk, clock, because the clock's universal.
Oh, okay. So
unless you're talking digital clocks.
So imagine imagine that the left one was
2:30 and 8:30.
8:30 and 3:30. So they were both just a little forward.
Oh, they're both forward. Okay.
Where the subject was and aimed inwards. And I was using the flags to stop the light from falling on the backdrop.
Cool.
Yeah, and Joe made the comment that, you know, based on the distance of light to subject and light to backdrop, I probably could have got away with not bothering with the flags.
Inverse square law.
Yeah, but I had sort of thought it all out in advance and decided that I really wanted to make sure that the backdrop was black. And so I decided to not take chances. I was going to flag the lights off and make sure that the backdrop...
And you said that a lot before the person who was shooting arrived. Yeah, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. If you're setting it up while someone's there, you don't bother with the flags unless you need them.
Exactly.
If you're fiddling around and you've got time... and it doesn't matter either way. You put them up, and even if they're having no effect, it doesn't matter because you had time. It depends on the circumstance. If it was me doing a shoot whilst the people were there, I would never use the flags. I would never set them up unless it was needed because it's time and effort, and you'd only know that after your first test shot. Yeah, but I'd rather do that. And thinking your inverse square law through better, keeping that in logic in mind, the closer your lights, the quicker they fall off.
Yeah.
You could probably decide that it's not going to have an issue. But sometimes also it depends on the type of background you're using as well.
Type as in what, material?
Material, or? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, because you can have some materials that are a little bit more shiny, a little bit more glossy.
It might not be lit,
but it may have a specular highlight on it.
Yeah, right.
There's a reflection, basically, a little specular reflection. So it can depend on the type of background you're using. So.
Yeah, right. Another thing that I noticed when I came to doing the post-processing of the images was, I sort of explained all this last episode, but Glenn's just coming up to speed. We shot some of the stuff on the black backdrop first, and once I was happy that I'd got some stuff off the black backdrop, we then ripped the flags off the lights and we did a quick change of a backdrop to a white backdrop. And I then shot some stuff on white backdrop because James wanted a new portrait for social media use, and so he wanted a white backdrop for that.
Yeah.
And I figured, I'd try and give Sybilla both black backdrop and white backdrop so, she could get the most versatility out of the photos for her intended use. And the one thing that I noticed when I came to doing the post-processing was, although I'd taken a test shot, when I first set the white backdrop up, I had one flash positioned behind the subject firing onto the backdrop. Uh-oh. And I basically fiddled with the output power of that flash, having taken a test shot, and got it to the point where it was just clipping on, the histogram on the back of the camera when I took the test shot. So I figured, okay, well, that's great. That'll be white, but it won't be overblown out and cause blooming all over the image.
Yeah.
But what I did notice when I came to actually doing the post-processing was that because I didn't have clamps on the sides of the backdrop, there were slight ripples in the fabric.
Yeah, and of course that occurs a different exposure.
And that caused, these slightly grey areas on the backdrop, which I then had to go and clean up in post. Yeah. So that was something that I realised for myself afterwards, looking at them in Darktable up close and personal. I was like, okay, well, I know that for next time. I need to clamp the backdrop from the sides and just pull it tight so that, there is none of that rippling across the fabric. Because although I keep my backdrops on a roll, they do tend to bunch a little when you roll them up.
Always, yeah. Yeah.
So you live and learn.
So I've actually gone to the thing and looked at the photos.
Have you really?
Oh, I know.
And
I can't resist. the folks a bit of a handsome guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Good-looking guy.
His daughter's not too shabby either.
Is it his daughter, is it?
Yeah. So this is Sybilla. She's 20. She's just turned 20, and she's pursuing a career as a professional dancer. The thing that she really needed was a good, clean, front-on, square-to-camera shot.
Yeah.
For use in
this. This is who I am. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know how when they do the programs for a given theatre production, they definitely want a square-to-camera, nothing creative. It's almost like a police headshot, but with nicer lighting. So I definitely had to deliver that, and then just tried to do some other nice stuff while we were at it. So
I think you've done well.
Thanks, mate.
With the guy, I would have probably, I would probably like a little bit more of a catch light in the eyes.
Yep.
I would get rid of the two specular reflections on his nose.
Yes. Joe mentioned
just,
that.
Just some tweaks because they draw your eye straight to it. And I don't know.
Now, one comment Joe made about that particular shot of James was that you can see that the catch lights are on the outside of both eyes.
Yeah, big problem.
And he said, you know, that kind of gives the impression that he's a little bit cross-eyed. And his suggestion was just go in and remove the catch light from one of the two eyes, and that will alleviate that problem.
I would actually lighten up the left eye ever so slightly.
Right.
And pop the catch light on the other side.
As in rotate the eye?
No, just clone out the crop, the catch light, and paste it on the other side.
Right, okay. Just a
little cut and paste.
Yeah, right.
And that would give a little bit more symmetry. I went out with a girl once who was cross-eyed.
Right.
I had to split up with her because when you went in for the kiss, she's looking at you with one eye, and the other one's looking off something else. And you never knew, but she's looking at you looking at somebody. It was very off-putting, you know. I had to end up going the old closed eye going in for the kiss, and that was always a misalignment issues. it was never good. So, cross-eye. I would have experimented a little bit with the bloke.
Yeah.
And brought your lower-powered light.
Yep, the one on the left.
I would have powered it up a little bit to maybe quarter.
And from a 16th to a quarter.
Instead of having it at an eight, was it a quarter, was it?
The one on the right was at an eighth, and the one on the left was at a 16th.
Okay. Your ratio should be 2:1. Your ratio should be 3:1. 3:1 ratio. Three to two. Four to seven. Your ratio should be.
Pick a number. What is this, lotto?
Your camera left. Your camera left. Light.
Yeah.
Once you've done those safe shots,
yep.
I would have brought it around. So let's say that's at 8:30, you were saying, was it?
Yep.
I would have brought that around to 11.
Okay. Yep.
10:30, 11.
Yep.
And that would have given, and powered it up, and that would have given that little bit edgier light on that side of the face.
Right.
And really, because this is a fairly striking, fairly strong looking guy, and the light's all soft.
Right.
Which is not bad. It's a nice portrait.
Yep.
But maybe something that might reflect him a little edgier, a little bit stronger, is to, once you've got those safe shots, is say, well, you know, I'll move that light to there. They'll give me a much edgier light on the camera left.
Right.
And it'll give you a lot more kick. But I think you've done well, dude. Those are three good shots.
Thank you.
Little tweaks. And every photo's got little tweaks. So.
Yeah. And we were limited by time because I'd invited them up from Sydney, they've travelled an hour and a half to be here, and I had said we'll do a quick photo shoot and then we'll have lunch, you know. And so lunch was sort of bearing down on us, and so you know we didn't have all day to play with it. We spent probably an hour and a half shooting
three photos.
Yes, that's right.
Two of them using the same light.
You're always telling me you don't need to show everybody all the crap.
Lunch first, and earlier lunch, had the afternoon to shoot.
Well, the thing was that they had paid for a hair and makeup artist for Sibylla, and I didn't want to have her go and mess up her makeup. You know, so it was all about balancing expectations. So, yeah.
Well done, you. And how'd you go with your lights? You hadn't used your lights much in these 4 years.
No.
How'd you go operating them? Did it all come back? Did you have any issues?
Well, I went down into the garage the night before and I pulled them out and set them up and got myself familiar with everything that there was about them, except for the use of a bloody modelling light. I wish I'd thought to turn the modelling light on because, as I mentioned to Joe, you know, my A7 III has eye autofocus built in, but in less than ideal lighting situations where there's enough light for the normal autofocus to work, sometimes the eye autofocus won't work because there's not enough light. And I'd set the room to be reasonably dark so that, you know, no ambient light was affecting the exposure. And what I should have done was turned on one of those modeling lights so that the eye autofocus could work, because there were a couple of images where the camera used just its regular autofocus because it wasn't seeing enough light to get eye autofocus happening. And the focus was just a smidge off. you know, where when the eye autofocus works, it is just bang on every time.
Yeah.
So that, again, you know, just something you learn as you go, you know.
Of course, yeah, then what you do with the course, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't do it very often. It's pretty
totally.
Tricky. Woohoo!
I just, sorry, I never got around to explaining why we were going to turn this episode upside down. West Coast is playing.
Let me pull the earplugs out. I won't know when he's finished talking.
I thought you'd be putting them in.
Sure.
So, anyway, okay. So we're not discussing the score, okay? Because you want to watch the game later. Okay. We're good. Okay, you can come back.
Hello.
Hello, we're back.
Yeah. So we're turning the episode upside down because you're and Bob's playing football and you chose to record. I mean, it's rather silly when you think about it, isn't it?
Well, you're the one recording the game. It's not even your team.
I know, that's why I didn't want you to tell me whatever was happening.
So I'm not. I haven't told you what's happening.
Oh, yeah, I can tell. Gee, yes, the other team is killing you and they're kicking lots of goals and you're really excited at the end, right? Spoiler. It's like when I have to be out when my team's playing, and I get all these people messaging me. Oh, are you going for your team? Oh, geez, bad luck. And I go, no. That's what someone else said.
At least I've now learned not to do that to you.
So when I was at the game the other week, I had to message and say, "Look, I'm at the game. Don't give me any spoilers.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't fast forward to the end and tell me what happens." I like the anticipation.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
I've got a couple of people they're always messaging me though. I have to be very careful on game day. So anyway, so that was good. So you did good. Have you had any other shooting experiences since then? Or is that, yeah?
No, not yet. But the job of photographing the on-air staff at Newcastle, that's going to happen on Tuesday of next week, so I'm looking forward to that. Yes, I did, as you suggested. I took my camera up and took my 15mm, and I think I could probably do the shots with the 28, but I'll give the 15 a go.
As I say, do the safe shots,
yep,
then kick it. Yeah, try something. No, but watch. Once you've got a reasonable selection of the safe stuff, you know you've got what you need in the bag.
Yeah.
There's no point doing more of the same.
Yeah.
Now say, well, can I really, you know, step outside and do something quite different and something better, you know?
Yeah.
Or possibly better. What you had might be better, but you won't know unless you try.
Yeah.
You won't learn to see unless you see.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to that. There's been a slight change in my work over the last week. So, as you know, I was contracted to do 3 days a week with Newcastle.
Yeah.
And last weekend I happened to, you know, be on Facebook and I see another guy, Ben. This is not the Ben that I worked for when I was at Sydney, but
who now remembers?
This is, yeah, exactly. So there's this other guy, Ben, who's another promo producer, who happened to post on Facebook that he'd just broken his leg doing jiu-jitsu.
Ouch.
And I didn't give it too much thought. And then on Tuesday, I get a text from the other Ben, my former boss in Ultimo, who says, "Hey, mate, what are you up to? Are you still working in Newcastle?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I am at the moment. You know, I'm doing 3 days a week up until July 10. Why, what's up?" And he said, "Oh, well, Ben's broken his leg and we need someone to do some fill-in work."
Because you can't press an audio record button with a broken leg?
Not in his capacity, no. So I said to him, "Well, look, I can do 2 days a week if that's of any use to you." And he said, "I'll get back to you." And then I went and spoke to my boss in Newcastle and she said, "Look, I don't want you to miss out on the work. If you need to drop back a day here to be able to give them 3 days a week, you know, do that." And so I went back to Ben and I said, "Hey, I can do 3 days a week if that helps." And he went, "Mate, I'll take it." So I'm now working for two different ABCs.
5 days a week.
5 days a week. So 2 days in Newcastle. Well, one day in Newcastle.
You should do Monday twice, Tuesday twice, and Wednesday and have Thursday, Friday off.
Well, as it is, Newcastle is really flexible and they let me do 1 day up there in Newcastle and 1 day from my home studio, so that's nice.
Oh, all from home now.
Yeah, so there's 1 day where I don't even have to leave the house.
You don't even have to get any Jimmy Jams.
That's right. And then 3 days down to Sydney. So I've done 2 days in Sydney. They're saying at least for the next two, like this week and next week, but it's more than likely going to extend beyond that, so... Yeah, so anyway, so it's all happening at once.
Wow.
And Kath and I have now booked our flights to Sri Lanka.
We've got some exciting news, haven't we?
Yes. So we're very excited about that. Very much looking forward to that. What I need to do is to go and look for some Sri Lanka photo groups and just start chatting with locals over there about what might be, you know, I mean, we've already done our research as to where we're going to go, and and there are certain things that I know I want to photograph, but I think, you know, probably good to start chatting with some local people who might be able to make suggestions of, hey, you know, if you want to get great shots but away from where the tourists are, try this place or try that place or be at this angle on this time of the day, and all that local knowledge stuff that you can't really research from afar, you know.
Before I want to mention one of my things whilst you're mentioning this thing, because it's something I want you to go watch.
Okay, and
that's so I was flicking through the YouTube, the MeTube, as my mum likes to call it, the MeTube.
Yes.
And came across a travel photographer from Belarus.
Oh, yeah.
A phenomenal photographer. Yeah, beautiful work. But he's got some really, really good videos on stuff like local advice versus not local advice versus all sorts of stuff. So his YouTube handle is Mitchell with two L's.
Yep.
Mitchell K Photos.
As in just the letter K?
Just the letter K, yeah. Mitchell K Photos.
Okay.
This is YouTube. And watch some of it. His work is inspiring, and yeah, he's just jealous as all get out and sort of live his life.
Yeah.
But some of his tips are really good. So I thought, some people I was asking about travel photography tips.
Cool.
Check those out. But definitely, then a couple of weeks ago, I was at a garage sale. They were clearing off. It was more like a market, a little market, and this one guy had a table with books, two for a dollar,
right?
And he had these two photographic books, one on India and one on Sri Lanka.
Oh, okay.
So I'll have to flick through the pictures and see if I see anything that stands out as look. It's only 1,000 kilometers where you're going to be. You should pop over and look at that.
Yeah, the helpful stuff. Well, we're doing our usual trick, which is we're going to hire a car and drive ourselves. So that, you know, opens up.
So who's going to record the podcast for the future after that?
You.
I just hit record.
I'll leave it to you in my will. Glenn can have the podcast.
All the profits from it.
Yes, that's right. So I'm looking forward to it because, you know, obviously having a car, we'll be able to set our own agenda, and, you know, when we see something interesting, I'll be able to stop and photograph. And what I am so looking forward to is, you know, now having a camera that shoots video as well. Is being able to, you know, document both stills and video as we go, and, you know, then be able to throw together a nice travel video at the end when we get home. So,
Nice. When are you going?
We fly out on the 3rd of August, which is the same day, incidentally, that Graham Anderson is flying to Sri Lanka. He's going to Sri Lanka as well. And I was saying to Kath, he and I, like the four of us, will probably end up on the same flight from Singapore to Colombo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, because I'd imagine there's only, you know, one or two flights a day from Singapore to Colombo. So,
so that means we're going to be probably all of August no podcast.
Pretty much.
Because I'm away the second half and you're away the first half.
Right. Yeah. So we get back on the 24th.
And I leave the 16th.
Right. And how long are you away for?
I'll get back about the 29th.
Right, okay.
So we'll have the month of August off.
Wow, how about that?
Lucky listeners.
Yes. They'll have to go and find some other podcasts to listen to. Fantastic. So, should we cover some stories?
No.
No?
We even asked what I've been doing.
Oh, sorry.
It's all about you, isn't it? That's the podcast upside down. See, Glenn talked the whole time.
I did try.
I did
try and ask earlier on, but I think you talked all over me. What have you been up to in life?
I would never do that, Bruce. Don't be so silly.
What have you been up to?
It's just ridiculous when you think about it.
In the last 2 weeks.
I've never ever done it to anybody in my life. It's rude, Bruce.
Never. What have you been up to?
It's completely rude.
It is.
So it's been 2 weeks.
It has.
I've actually done some photographic stuff in those 2 weeks.
No.
Oh, no. But here's the thing. I did a couple of landscapes.
Oh, really?
And I was told that I had to send them to you so you could critique them on the podcast, which I didn't do.
Which you didn't do.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to plug them in and send them to you now.
Oh, okay.
If I can find them. Right. Now, admittedly, yeah, here's the thing. I'm driving along the road. Right.
Right.
And I knew there was these big rocks in a particular spot on the trek, yeah, half an hour or so from where I was going to be finishing my journey.
Okay.
So, and yeah, I remember going and playing these rocks as a kid, you know. So I was driving up to town of Horsham, which is about 3 hours away from where I live, to do a talk at the Horsham Photographic Club, Camera Club.
Oh, okay.
So I knew these things were on the way. So I thought, well, you know, I'll take my camera and maybe I'll take a photo or two on the way. And I said, me and the family used to drive from Melbourne to Adelaide quite a bit as kids because we used to live in Adelaide.
Right.
And we'd stop at these rocks and run around and stretch the legs.
Yep.
So anyway, so I thought, I'll stop and I'll just take a few photos, you know. And when I get there, there's this guy doing a survey, right? And he wants to talk because I'm the only person there.
Right.
And this is amazing light. This is incredible light on the rocks. This guy's come around this side, which is nowhere near where I want to go. Look at this rock caving here. This is the earliest cave findings I can find from 1866. And the guy was fascinating. It was great stuff. It was really cool information. But the light was
just horrendous.
And by the time he finished talking, the light was pretty much gone. So I got in the car, turned around, went about 3 feet, like the sun came out of the cloud, jumped out, did about 2 minutes, did some quick snaps, got back in the car, and got going. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of effort put into the old landscapes. But seems there were landscapes, and the people that suggested that, you know, maybe it was your chance to critique that.
Right. So I've got two of them, but I don't have a third one. I've only got two.
Let's talk about the two you've got. What have you got?
I've got two and three, but I don't have one.
I don't have one. One's the only good one.
Right.
So what's two?
Two is the one sort of looking through the tunnel.
Oh, yeah. That's like looking through a tunnel. Yeah,
it is. It is a bit like that.
It's all these rocks have all sort of weathered and fallen over time sort of thing.
Yeah.
And some of them collapsed on top of each other and created this, some of these tunnels between stuff. So that's that is.
So I'm guessing that's shot with a fairly wide angle.
Yeah. Oh, I had my 15-30. I was just wandering around with my 15, my favoured 15-30.
Yeah.
And of course a bit of graffiti.
Yeah.
As the humans are wont to do, put a bit of graffiti on there. So.
Am I right in thinking that you've clipped the highlights in the background and you've tried to tone them down because it's sort of a grey?
Possibly.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, those, yeah, actually is. Yeah, it looks pretty sharp now. Look at those up there.
So now I've got hang on. So the one you've sent, I already had as three.
Oh, really? I thought that was one.
No. It looks like it's the same image but different processing or a different exposure. Really? Yeah. Because it's the one with the starburst on the left-hand side.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got that twice, and I've got the one looking through the tunnel.
I've only got that one on my desktop. So I sent the same one to you twice, and they look different process, which is kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyhow.
How bizarre. So, well, that, if they look like they're different process, how does anyone send photos to each other if that's the case? You know? So the only one I really liked was the one with the starburst. Anyway, that was a quick snap holder.
I'm assuming you weren't using a star filter. It's just because you closed your aperture down.
Down to F22 and just peeking the sun just off the edge. You get that little wobble. You got that little wobble. You got to get going back and forward.
Yeah,
to get the sun just to kind of peek out just a touch.
Yep, around the side of the
starburst.
Tree.
Yeah,
yep.
If you go out too far, you lose the starburst. So it's going to be just on the. If no one knows how to do that, just get right on the cusp of whatever object's blocking the sun, and just have it peeking out at the top and stop your aperture down. And depending on what lens you're using, as to how good the starburst is going to look.
Yeah. And you really do need the aperture shut right down.
Oh, yes. Almost, as far down as it'll go.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
as far down as it'll go. And so the more blades your lens has, the better it looks. So the 15-30 does a pretty decent starburst. I reckon.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. Of course, you can buy star filters, which you can screw on the front of your camera if you don't want to.
Is it going to do that?
I did back in the 90s.
Back in the 70s, yeah. We did lots of things we shouldn't do back in the 70s. Spot colour is an example.
Yeah, right. It's funny, the last episode I did of my Dark Table video series, I was doing a video on a module within Darktable called the Color Balance module. And as a demonstration, I said, you know, let's suppose we wanted to take this image and give it the, you know, the blue and orange look that is so much the fad in cinematography right now.
The teal orange.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. And I said something along the lines of, you know, I'm sure that 15, 20 years from now, we're going to look back on this period and just cringe at how everything that came out had that color palette, you know. And I had a couple of people in the comments that come back and go, oh yeah, it's just as bad as the color popping from 10 years ago or the focus pull from 10 years before that and all this sort of stuff, you know, how the video focus pull effects. So it's funny how certain techniques come and go in and out of fashion.
Well, it's funny, I've been playing around a bit with color grading this week for the first ever time.
I did see that you mentioned that, yes.
And funny enough, yeah, of course, yeah, the first thing that people teach you in the color grading is, of course, a really popular look right now is the teal orange. Teal orange look, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been having a bit of a play with color grading just to, you know, give images a bit of a different feel from how I normally see them.
Yep.
But the second shoot I did a fitness model approached me about it's not a fitness model, a guy who was going to wanted to lose a bunch of weight and get himself toned up,
right,
wanted to lock in a photo shoot,
right.
So he got in touch with me 3 months ago, said I want to go on a 3 month real burn and try and get myself into real tip-top shape. And,
right.
But the only way I need to have something to work towards. If we set a date for a photo shoot, that's my goal date. I can work towards that.
Nice, motivating. That's great.
Yeah, I thought it was a good way of doing it. So it's set a date and time. So lovely guy called Daniel, I think his name was. I've forgotten. That's pretty bad, isn't it?
Well, that's what the photos are called, so I'm assuming that's his name.
There you go, Daniel. So seeing that he wanted to show his definition that he'd got. So he lost 25 kilos.
Wow.
25 kilos. And he was there was nothing left of him. He was a little skin and bone man left, you know.
Yeah.
But so he lost 25 kilos and over a period of time and then really worked hard the last 3 months to actually tone up. And then about 2 weeks ago, he broke his hand.
Oh, no.
So he couldn't do any body work because he broke his hand.
Yeah, right.
And fortunately, he didn't need a cast. He just had to have a big bandage on the back of his hand.
Right.
So all the photos I shot had to be hiding that bandage, which, of course, keeps the fun, limits some of the photo shoot.
Yeah.
So, of course, it was all going to be off-camera flash because I wanted to be able to control the direction of the lighting to be throwing shadows in all the right spots to show his definition.
Yep.
So I thought, so I've included three shots I just sent through to you a minute ago.
Yep.
So to show what the day looked like, what it was like with the camera settings and what the final shot looked like.
Yeah.
So that's just some of the stuff I was doing. And, I love changing the world from the way it is, it looks, in the real world, to what you can create. So they're pretty cool. Not pretty cool shots. It was a good fun shoot.
Yeah.
So it's another an even more muscular guy now wants me to do some shots. He's a big guy. So not big as in stupid big, but big as in,
he's ripped.
He's a bigger guy. This guy was very skinny. Much skinnier. He was here's the thing, when he showed up, he was so skinny. I'm going, oh God, this is going to be hard to show. And, he doesn't have the classic six pack abs. He's going to have more angular shaped musculature, and he didn't have decent biceps, and his pectorals were so it was a really thin guy. And so you've really got to craft your life very carefully.
Right.
But we shot for a couple of hours in. We did about three or four locations, but all within 150 meters of so three or four different spots, but not actually traveling anywhere to go to them.
Yep.
So we had some fun. There was some good stuff there. Yeah. So I did that. I did my photo talk up at Horsham in a Canberra club, which was really good. It was a fun cool. night out.
Yep.
Then this Saturday, I've got a one-on-one, so I'm just going a bit nuts, Bruce.
Nice.
Oh, and then Monday, this coming Monday, yeah. I've been employed by, I can't remember what the name of the company is, Tamron, I think.
Okay, yeah.
It's multiple Tamron. I'm doing some training for Tamron. Of Tamron's actual staff, the people who work for Tamron. They're shooting with the new 35-150.
Oh, nice.
Which is only, there's only a couple of them here in Australia already, and they're only in Nikon mount, so I'm going to be shooting with Nikon.
Right.
Yes, I'll get to test out the new 35-150 on Monday, which I'm really looking
for. The focal length will be all back to front on you, mate.
Because it's which way to zoom you, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's crazy.
I'm keen to know, why is Canon back to front?
Why is Nikon back to front, you mean?
Well, no, because every other camera is the opposite orientation to Canon. Canon's the only one that goes that way.
Very simple, my friend.
Yeah.
They're right.
Right, okay.
Yeah. It takes one to be right. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a fun day, I think. Nice. Which will be good. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all I've been doing the last couple of weeks.
Cool.
Besides snoozing and stuff. hard work.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, should we cover some
stories? Because I want to get back to football.
Absolutely. So, what have you got?
Me? I've only got nothing. I've got one thing.
Yeah?
Because Adam's got my other thing. So, my one thing is
yeah.
I saw this video about why Canon RF lenses.
Yeah.
Could potentially be better than all their EF lenses.
Oh, Adam had that one as well.
Did he?
Yes.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I put the first 3 seconds of it on.
Yeah.
My voice annoyed me, so I turned it off.
Right. Fair enough.
If you're a cantankerous, cranky old bugger like myself,
yeah.
Don't watch Adam's video.
Right. Okay.
So I still have no idea.
It's only 4.5 minutes.
I had the first 10, not even 10 seconds. I had to turn it off.
Really?
Just so annoying.
I'm almost tempted to hit play.
Oh, see? Oh. Anyway.
Hang on.
RF lenses, born of Canon's pursuit of the ideal lens.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah. What I thought was when the... To get an RF lenses, we're going to be like a pink. So, what have you got? Come on, something from you.
Okay, what have I got? I had something that I found on digitalsynopsis.com. I don't even know where I found, well, obviously on digitalsynopsis.com, but I don't know how I came by this because it's not a site that I'm normally on. And this was... Oh, this is almost the same as the other link that Adam sent.
Was it the Kardashian?
Well, yeah, this guy keeps photoshopping himself into celebrities' lives, and it's hilarious. And, there's just...
Damn good Photoshop, yeah, I'll give it that.
Very good.
Yeah.
And obviously takes some time to get the shots of himself in lighting that matches the... You know, the scenes that he wants to Photoshop himself into, you know, just some classic stuff there. So mine is a different link to the one that Adam sent, but I will put both. Oh, actually, no. Yeah, it's interesting. They're both on the same domain. They're both on digitalsynopsis.com, but they're a slightly different link. So I'll put both of the links in just in case there are a different series of images in the two. Philip Johnson sent us a story, and this is, you could be fined $5,000 for flying a drone anywhere in Canada.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I haven't had a chance to watch the video, but there's...
So is that right, eh?
Rayleigh?
Is that right, eh?
Oh, right. Yes, eh? That's it, exactly.
I'm speaking Canadian, eh?
Yeah, exactly. So
I told you how Canada, eh? I told you how Canada got its name, eh?
Yep. No.
Well, Canada didn't have a name, so they decided they had to come up with a name, and the Prime Minister gathered everyone together and said, "We'll put a bunch of letters in the buckets,
uh-huh.
and we're going to pull them out and see what we got, and whatever comes out is what we'll call ourselves."
Right.
So he's put his hand in his bucket. He's pulled out. Oh, it's a C, eh? That's an N, A. That's a D, A.
Right, okay. fair enough. So apparently...
Why would you be fined for flying drones at Canberra?
So essentially you have the freedom to fly in a few specific places, but now you can't fly anywhere without a license. The license is for drones weighing between 250 grams and 25 kilograms, and there are two types available, basic and advanced. So it really just comes down to knowing the law, where it is that you plan on flying your drone, and making sure you comply with said laws. So I will leave that link in the show notes.
It's 10 whole dollars.
Yeah. I know, right?
So basically it's just a way of monitoring who's using drones more than anything else, really, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. The first of Adam's stories was on Petapixel. It's wildlife photo contest winner disqualified over elephant's ears.
That was eerie, that one.
Thank you. Boom, boom. So although the photo initially won... Person, that's the name of the photographer, the title of Photographer of the Year, the publication's ever vigilant community members with detailed knowledge of Tim, the elephant, quickly noticed that something was off with the elephant's ears.
Can I say, though, that they should never have got this far.
Yeah.
Because it should have been fined for overuse of vignette. And the best thing for anything else.
Absolutely.
if it'd been fined for that, it wouldn't have got this far. Exactly. This issue would never have risen.
Exactly. So what gave it away?
He's twisted up his ears.
Yes, because this elephant has quite tattered ears. He's obviously been in some fights and, yeah, he's sort of photoshopped a more consistent edge to Tim's left ear. On camera, right, and that gave him away to those people that knew the elephant.
Well, as I say to all those vigilant people out there, ear, ear.
Yeah, that's right. The next one is, I think this is quite an interesting story. Ground Zero,
be boring, then.
As in New York City where, you know, 9/11 took place, Ground Zero Photo Archive reveals limits of CDRs for photo storage. And it turns out that somebody recently went back to some of the CDRs on which the images from 9/11 had been stored and found that some of these CDR discs have degraded so badly in 18 years that some of the photos were corrupt and could not be retrieved.
Wow.
And so they're saying, you know, we've always suspected that CDRs were not a great long-term archival medium, and they're basically saying, you know, if you've got stuff stored on CDR that you've had for, you know, more than 10 years, it's about time you back them up to something a little bit more permanent. And given
way back in those days, though,
that was the best option.
Our common practice was you recopy them every 5 years,
right?
You wouldn't wait 18 years and see if they're any good. The method of operation, the mindset of anyone using them for archival or for storage purposes was record them every 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
So absolutely. And remember, there are very different levels of quality of CDRs you could buy as well.
Absolutely.
There are ones that were guaranteed 100 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're using just the basic, you know, cheapest thing you can get from the shops,
yep.
Yeah, no more than 5 years would you be even confident that anything would be still on there. So
yeah,
absolutely, that doesn't surprise me at all, except the fact that they're surprised. that's the big surprise.
Yeah, the next one that Adam sent us was one that Glyn also had. Lens Baby's new Omni filter system isn't like any kind of filter system you've seen before. So Glyn, tell us all about it.
Well, I didn't look.
You sent me the story.
This is how it looks.
Right.
Isn't it just like a holder with a stick on the end?
Yeah, it looks pretty much like that.
So basically, they've got these little crystals and prisms and stuff. Because what is it? So there's a common trick these days is you get like bubble wrap or little prisms or glass elements and stuff and hold them in front of your lens when you're shooting for flare and
right. And
all sorts of other effects.
Yeah.
But they rightly point out that it's tricky to hold that thing in the right spot whilst focusing, whilst adjusting the camera, exit, yeah. zooming, whatever it may be. Yeah. And impossible to very hard to reproduce the same shot because your hand moves and the element frames. Of the thing is, yeah. Between frames. So the thing you're sticking on the front or holding on the front is moving and it's not giving you consistency. So basically this is just an adapter. I haven't looked, but I can imagine it's an adapter that you can hold. It's maybe got clips or something that can hold the thing you're trying to put out there, or they might actually even sell you some of these elements that will fit on there perfectly, right. And you adjust them in front of your lens. And of course, once they go, they stay there because they're on these little sticks,
yeah,
little bendy sticks. I would imagine.
Yeah, right.
Would that be if you looked?
I don't know if they're bendy or not. They look like things that you stick in the end of a drill.
You'd want them to be bendy. you want to bend them and move them into different angles. I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they do. They look like those hex bits that you put in the end of your drill.
Really?
Yeah. But the handle part looks like a hex bit.
Bruce, I don't know what any of that is.
I know. You bought a 5-pack of adjustable spanners. I'm never going to let you forget that.
I still haven't used them.
Excellent. And the last story that Adam sent us, and I should have put this with the other story, 2,400 unseen 9/11 photos found on CDs at a house clearance sale.
Are they readable, though?
That's a good question. Obviously, they were readable enough because they've made a blog post out of it using some of those images. So obviously, some of them were. And allegedly, these are
images. How do they know they're unseen?
Well, they're certainly not unseen now.
Well, they hadn't seen them. That's probably that, yeah. Yes.
So, anyway.
I saw some guy found, I didn't bother linking the article, some guy found some old negatives or films or something in his drawer that he bought at a garage sale in the 70s, put it in this drawer and forgot about them.
Oh, wow.
Found them like last week. And they're from the 1930s in New York from a famous crime photographer of the time. And there's all these photos from a guy called Weegee, W-E-E-G-E-E, all these crime scene photos from the 1930s in New York.
Wow.
So, yeah, if just search that up and you'll come up somewhere on the internet, I'm sure.
W-E-E-G-E-E, yep.
Yeah, Weegee. That's it. So he bought them in the 70s and forgot about them for 45 years or whatever.
Wow. Yeah. Hiding in a junk store box unseen for 82 years. Wow.
Well, he doesn't know they've been unseen because he bought them from someone in the 70s. They could have seen them.
Yeah.
So
wow.
And he looked at them in the 70s, so he might have seen them.
Yeah.
So they're not unseen, just unseen by us.
Yeah. Wow.
He could have been ahead of slide nights every Friday night for the last 40 years, and lots of people see them. But, yeah, pretty amazing, though. There's all that sort of stuff still out there. It's amazing. Yeah.
I'll keep getting found. Add this link to the list of stuff to put in the show notes. So,
For my extensive research I did this week.
That's right. Yes, which you left to me to do. Excellent. All right, mate. Well, good to chat.
Is that it?
That is it. We can finally get back to watching the footy.
Time.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it.
So are you going to watch the last quarter and a half, or are you going to wait till it's over and then watch the whole game?
No, I'm going to watch from wherever I was up to.
Oh, okay. You just put it in delay, do you?
No, I just started recording from that moment.
But you can start watching it while it's still recording?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Cool. Awesome.
I mean, or I can stream it on my phone, or I can put it on my other computer, or I can stream it. I've got so many different ways to watch stuff these days. It's confusing.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, crazy stuff. I can watch picture in picture whilst I'm watching, say, the world cricket. I can be watching the rest of the Eagles. It's just nuts.
Awesome. All right, mate. Will you have a good week?
I will indeed. Take care, everybody.
Yeah, and we'll speak to you in a week.
Doodles.
See ya.
Bye, mate.
Shutters Inc.
Another audio2u.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.